The Great European Space by Daria Platonova-Dugina. What was around in the moment when it was born? What was happening in France? Without a doubt, there was a deep crisis of right-wing ideology. At that time, the right couldn't intellectually pose any alternative to the left-liberal discourse that was developing. Moreover, the right closed itself off too tightly in nationalism and thought exclusively of France. Thinking in terms of France, in the spirit that Trump thinks in terms of America, that is, in the sense of isolationism, yanking America out of context. If this is a rather good strategy for America, then for France, which is part of the European cultural space, such an artificial operation makes itself felt more negatively in culture, artificially tearing France away from Europe and its classical tradition. Therefore, the first thing that the New Right did, following Jean Thiriart, who inspired them in many respects, was to reject the then widely accepted French nationalism and to instead advocate European nationalism. They turned to the geopolitical ideas of Carl Schmitt on great spaces and the rights of peoples. They developed Jean Thiriart's idea of the autarky of great spaces. This theory was originally formulated by the German economist Friedrich List, who applied it to Germany and neighbouring countries of Central Europe, but Thiriart revises it and projects it onto Europe as a whole. Thiriart, himself Belgian, understood well that a small space cannot survive on its own or ensure its sovereignty. In order to wage war, in order to effectively oppose Americanization, universalization, and globalism, both physically and ideologically, it is necessary to form a European great space. Accordingly, the influence of Jean Thiriart is very important, and unlike the ordinary right of the time, the New Right said that it is necessary to think Europe or think in terms of Europe. This distinguishes them from and puts them at odds with the old right. For example, who was the right at the time? There were the so-called Poujadists, followers of Pierre Poujade. Jean-Marie Le Pen and his National Front later grew out of this movement. Le Pen had ties with Poujadism. There was also the right-wing movement of monarchists and nationalists in the spirit of Charles Maurras, the founder of Action Française. Grèce decisively broke with all of this, as the New Right would later write about themselves, particularly Alain de Benoist in 1979, when he formulated the first reflections on Grèce's 11th anniversary. We felt a complete break with the old right, especially on the front of ideas. As he wrote in his Les Idées à l'endroit, an important guidebook for analysing the new right, the old right was dead. The old right put itself to death, and it deserved this in principle. Accordingly, Greece found itself in a certain rupture between the right, whom they didn't accept, and the left, which disagreed with them in one way or another, because, as de Benoist put it, the left remained within the topos of the economy, and for them the human being is first and foremost conditioned by economics. For the new right, the human being is conditioned not by economics, but by culture and the sphere of the spirit. Therefore, the left doesn't accept Greece in that it puts the economy's influence on human life in second place, or rather denies that human life is conditioned by the economic sphere. They reject this, and so they really did end up in a certain rift. Among the first members of the New Right, we can highlight the foremost figure, Alain de Benoist, as well as Dominique Venner, and a number of other figures, such as Jean-Claude Vallat and Pierre Vial, whom you might have heard of. All the rest are not so famous. Their works haven't even been translated into Russian. Under the rubric of Greece, in 1968, the New Right started organising annual symposiums and conferences, les colloques. In French, colloque is something in the likes of congress or symposium. In fact, we also use this word in our language, colloquium, colloquium. The typical topics of these colloquiums included Gramscianism from the right, the cause of peoples, the left, the right, the end of the system, the end of the world, Europe, the new world, the US, the danger, against Disneyland, etc. Accordingly, these are the points in which the new right sees the nodal points of their intellectual life. Here's one example. The anthology of the 15th Greece Colloquium, Les Causes des Peuples, The Cause of Peoples, where the main speeches are published. The left-wing newspaper, Le Monde, was frightened by how the new right took aim at the Western American system for erasing differences in personalities and turning everyone into robots. This critique of American hegemony and global liberalism in no way fit with the old right, who, as a general rule, defended such. No less shocking for the left was the praise for Gramscianism that could be heard at one of their other colloquiums. In 1988, they released the special publication Crisis, which was aimed at left-leaning audiences and worked primarily on the left front, where key topics were examined predominantly from a left, although always anti-liberal, position. Accordingly, their publishing base was Elimor, Nouvelle École, and Crisis. Now that we've covered the history and main figures, let's move on to influences. Here, everything is very interesting. These influences will probably take up the greater part of my lecture, because, as I said, the New Right are a kind of encyclopedists. When we talk about who influenced them, we are essentially getting acquainted with their main theses and concepts. First and foremost, the New Right was strongly influenced by the conservative revolutionaries on all fronts. This includes the left-wing National Bolsheviks in the spirit of Ernst Niekisch and the right-wing conservative revolutionaries like Oswald Spengler, Carl Schmitt, as well as left-wing conservative revolutionaries like Ernst von Salomon or Harro Schulze-Boysen. This whole layer of German nonconformist culture in the 1920s-40s entered the French context and was integrated into the New Right's structure of thought. They popularized this milieu. They really like Ernst Jünger. De Benoist himself met Jünger, was friends with his secretary Armin Mohler, and maintained a regular correspondence with him. He was inspired by Jünger's ideas like the forest passage, which means leaving the civilization of modernity, radically opposing it, and returning to the sphere of tradition, to the sphere where the spirit is dominant over the economy. His ideas on war also fascinated Alain de Benoist, above all his deep description of the very spirit of Kshatriyanism. This also runs throughout the New Right like a guiding line. Moving on, also important is the influence of Jean Thiriard, the theoretician of a united Europe from Dublin to Vladivostok. This formula was first proclaimed by Jean Thiriard. Today, it is often used by many, including Russian politicians. The thesis of establishing a greater Europe from Dublin to Vladivostok, or another version, from Lisbon to Vladivostok, was Jean Thiriard's idea. He speaks of the necessity of creating a single European space, the integration of the European continent, which includes European countries as well as Russia. Thiriard's conclusion is that the geopolitical identity of this bloc is that of land, tellurocracy. It is anti-globalism and anti-universalism, the antithesis to Anglo-Saxon, Atlanticist geopolitics. This region of Great Europe, this pole, should become the platform for the rebirth of tradition, a coup against egalitarianism and universalism, the restoration of the traditions that have been lost. It follows that when the New Right looks at the phenomenon of Europe and speaks of the need for a rebirth of European civilization, they are in many respects following Thiriard. It is important that they also include Russia in this vision as one important part of the European space. Excerpt from the book, A Theory of Europe by Daria Platonova-Dugina.